CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Maureen, and today we have Melanie Cutting, and she'll be doing her At the Movies with Mel. So welcome, Melanie.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. Always a treat. Summer is a wonderful time, oddly, to go to the movies, because they release many quite good movies, along with the less good but high-priced blockbusters.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've seen two kind of historical movies recently. One came to our local Maison de Cinema and left in a bit of a hurry, called Churchill. And I'm sure it will be available on DVD, maybe Netflix.
Okay.
And I think you do fine to wait until that happens. It was not one of the best movies about Churchill that we've seen recently, and it didn't get particularly good reviews. And I never thought I would say this about a Churchill movie, but it was a bit of a snooze.
Okay.
In some cases, it covered quite a short period of time in his life when he was not at the height of popularity. It was towards the end of the war. The D-Day invasion was being planned by General Montgomery and General Eisenhower, among others. And he had very different ideas, Churchill, about what could be done, what should be done. And frankly, nobody was listening. So it was kind of an interesting story, but it was just slow. It was kind of, boy, you could have done better with this, this somewhat interesting snippet of his life. But anyway, it's no longer there, so nobody needs to feel an obligation to go see it. But the other movie that is there now and is likely to be there for a while is Dunkirk.
Okay.
And saw that one last night. It is excellent. It's really, really solid. Good writing, good acting, incredible production values without being over the top in terms of special effects. It concerns itself with, the filmmaker, person who wrote and directed it, is Christopher Nolan. And he's become kind of a big name in film these days. He's done several of the good Batman movies, along with Inception and some other movies, some of which play with time, which he does a little bit in this movie as well. But to get to the story without giving anything away, it's a pretty well-known incident in history. When it was early in the war and the Germans had invaded France, and there were British and French soldiers struggling to get away. So the idea was that they would all go to the beach at Dunkirk on the, not so far from Calais, but the other side of the English Channel, France, England. And the idea was that the English would come and get them. But there were 400,000 soldiers trying desperately to get out of there and get home. And there were the big rescue effort was sending ships, and they used terminology in this movie that I hadn't heard before. This is this rescue by sea is called the mole, M-O-L-E.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which has nothing to do with the way we usually think of moles as either little creatures or spies within an organization. It must be a very British thing, the mole. And the other aspect was, besides this rescue by sea, was what was going on in the air. And there was planes sent over from small but solid fighter planes sent over to try and make sure that the rescue attempt went as well as could be expected. So they were supposed to be shooting down the German planes in the air, which were not in huge force. There was a question about, well, why didn't they just take out everybody on the beach with their planes? And they didn't, and I'm not sure entirely why. But so there are a couple of the smaller planes that we're focused on. and they were reasonably successful. And in fact, ultimately, they were very successful in that, I think what I've heard is of the 400,000 soldiers trying to escape, there were about 300,000 or so who, in fact, made it out.
Oh, large number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the probably the best part of the movie was when a number of pleasure craft and tugboats and fishing boats and various civilian vessels kind of answered the call over in Britain and made their way across the channel to Dunkirk and loaded up as many of the men as they could. And in some cases, they didn't get as far as the beach because they were picking up men who had been on other ships that were sunk. Torpedoed, strafed, whatever. Mm-hmm. So here are all these men kind of flailing around in the ocean, and they picked them up as well. Okay. And that was really very, it was very moving. You know, one of these scenes where you see little flotilla of British, British, sometimes pleasure craft, you know, just people out sailing in their boats, coming, you know, sailing across the channel to basically get into the war and pick up these. And it was certainly not without danger.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't all make it, but how many did make it was quite remarkable and definitely well worth seeing. And not sometimes war movies, I think this has been compared a bit to a really classic war movie from a few years ago called Saving Private Ryan.
Okay, interesting.
Which opened with the scene on the beach on D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
Where soldiers were just mowed down, absolutely devastated. But somehow they considered it a success despite all the many casualties.
Mm-hmm.
This was not that different, but not quite, didn't have quite that same impact.
Okay.
And what I found interesting was when the soldiers were waiting to be picked up, there they were along quite a beautiful beach out just near Dunkirk in lines. They were lined up from the sea up towards the town, these lines. And I think the lines were like one might be a particular company or a regiment, and, and that was their line. And they stayed in their lines. It just, boy, I would be crowding. You know, there would be chaos, but they were very, very disciplined. And let's see, there was... else can I take? Oh, well, I could talk a little bit about the people who were in the movie. There were a number of really fine British actors. Kenneth Branagh is one who had an important role, but not a starring role. And he played a British admiral who was kind of directing things. And a really good British actor named Mark Rylance played the one of the sailboat sailors who came across the channel, and he was excellent. And for those who know this name, Harry Styles played, I think it's his movie debut, he's one of the boy band called One Dimension. I'm a little bit shaky ground here, but I think it's One Dimension. And he's been getting a fair bit of airplay because this was the movie that he was in.
Oh, that's great.
But he too wasn't like the star. There were no stars. It was shared by a number of number of really good performers, but most of whom I certainly had never heard of, and I'm thinking that a lot of people would have never heard of young men playing soldiers. So interesting story, very well done, highly recommended. I've read one or two reviews as well, and the reviewers are giving the movie 5 stars just because it is so well done without being gross. You know, people obviously are getting hurt, shot, but there aren't, it's not dwelled on the way you find in a number of war films. It's just like that seems to be they think that's, well, this is what the draw is going to be, is seeing lots of bodies flying around. I actually, on saw Hacksaw Ridge on video not so long ago, and that was very much in that realm of the gorier, the better.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to be a gory story, but it was done in a really gory way, and I think Mel Gibson likes that stuff. So this is not gory, just thoughtful, quite action-packed, and really kind of made you think about the nature of heroism.
Okay, it sounds not excellent.
Yeah, anyway, so that's up. That's for that movie, and as I say, it only opened quite recently, like possibly this week. Mm-hmm. It will be there hopefully for a while. You never know. Sometimes mm-hmm. they come and go really fast, and mm-hmm. that's unexpected. But I think this one will be around for a bit. But as I've mentioned in past segments, it's a good idea to try and catch the movies pretty much when they arrive, mm-hmm. because they either disappear,
mm-hmm.
Especially if they're the English, or they the English version is only shown maybe sometimes once a day at 10 o'clock at night.
Okay,
no, that's not going to work for mm-hmm. me. So they change the schedule so it's less attractive. Fewer mm-hmm. You can see it fewer times. Sometimes they just do away with the English version altogether,
mm-hmm.
and it's left in French. So if you would like to see English movies and you see them advertised, and I would strongly recommend that you bookmark the Maison de Cinéma site, because there's all kinds of information on there, and try and get to see them.
Good.
As early in the game as you can. I'll talk kind of briefly, I'm not, about some other movies that are coming up. Well, they're here now, actually, from July 21st to the 27th, which is, the movies always change. Thursday night is the last night if it's a movie that it's on its way out. Thursday night will be the last night. The new films mm-hmm. begin on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm saying Dunkirk is there now, and there's actually 5 showings every day. There's a new movie, science fiction, which I must admit I haven't seen yet. Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. I read one review and it kind of wasn't great. So it's not one that I'm going out of my way to see, but mm-hmm. it's there. A movie which is there, and it was a toss-up whether we saw this one or Dunkirk yesterday, and it's War for the Planet of the Apes. 4 showings a day, and I just thought of it as, oh, another monkey movie. I've seen mm-hmm. several of the other Planet of the Apes movies, and after the first one, which was kind of unique and interesting, I haven't been as interested in them, and I thought, God, another one, what's going on? It has gotten surprisingly good reviews. People have been giving it 4 out of 5 stars, 4.5, and there's something kind of special about this particular Planet of the Apes movies. For the Planet of the Apes. So that's a possibility. My husband really wants to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I may go see it as well. Another one which is, again, getting really solid reviews, although it's a little unexpected, is Spider-Man.
Okay, and another Spider-Man.
It must mm-hmm. be the 8th Spider-Man movie. And they change the actor who plays Spider-Man quite regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new young man.
Okay.
Who is, he apparently is being considered the most realistic Spider-Man, because he's essentially high school age
mm-hmm.
and he's a nerd.
Oh,
and okay. He looks nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
He's mm-hmm. not classically mm-hmm. good looking. But he does a wonderful job, apparently, as Spider-Man.
Oh, good.
And he's supported by one of my favorite actors playing Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
His name escapes me. He'll come to me in a second. But the Iron Man actor, who seems to be a kind of a mentor to this very, very young Spider-Man. Again, one that's on the list. Gotta mm-hmm. go see that movie, but it just didn't happen yesterday. I think another movie that for people who are young and young at heart is Despicable Me 3. If you have seen any of the other two, or a movie called Minions, which didn't have the Despicable Me main character, but it had the Minions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a Minion fan, which I am, then this is one to catch. But you may, if you If you only have a certain movie schedule that you think you'd like to follow, then that could be one that you might want to wait and pick up on video on Netflix.
Okay.
And then there are two other movies in English. This is just a banner week, frankly, for English movies.
I see that.
At the Maison. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's like 8 of them. No, 7. And then there's another one coming, which I'll briefly mention, starting this coming Friday. But now we have The Beguiled, which mm-hmm. I think is a higher quality movie than some of the others, with, I believe, Nicole Kidman. And a movie called Baby Driver. Now, the demographic for this one seems to be teens and young adults. And it looks as if there is only one showing every day, and it's at 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
So that's what makes me think, oh, they're going to be bringing in, you know, mm-hmm. the 20-somethings. So Baby Driver, there is some good actors in that, and may get to see it, but it's not real high on the list. The Beguiled, probably just fine. Colin Farrell's another person in there. Kirsten Dunst, Elle Fanning. Planet of the Apes movie, I would see just because it's been doing so well critically. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man, because I like Spider-Man. And I haven't seen the last couple, so I thought, maybe it's one that I could make an effort to go and see. And this movie, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, as I said, I only read one review and it was kind of terrible. But that doesn't mean that it's a terrible movie. And what's starting on Friday is a movie called Atomic Blonde. And I can hear the groans now. But it is a movie with a really good actress, Charlize Theron. She's a good actress, and she's recently begun doing lots of action movies. Mm-hmm. She did a Road Warrior movie not so long ago, and she was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So she plays the Atomic Blonde, who seems to be kind of a spy adventure. Anyway, previews that I've seen have made it look really fun and exciting, mm-hmm. and you know, just
nice.
An outing. Mm-hmm. You're not going to learn a whole lot mm-hmm. of this, but you might really enjoy it. Anyway, okay, so I still haven't remembered the name of the, maybe someone can phone in the name of the name of the actor who plays the Iron Man, who, as I say, is one of my favorite actors, but I can't remember his name. But if you like Iron Man and you like Spider-Man, then the new Spider-Man movie is absolutely a must-see. And because it's a kind of big and splashy, it's one that you are better off seeing in a theater mm-hmm. on a very large screen rather than at home on a very small screen.
Mm-hmm. Makes a difference.
It does. It does, certainly for some of these. Yeah. Dunkirk is another one. Don't wait for the video. Mm-hmm. Go see it in a theater. Anyway, I think that's it for the moment, and as I go see more movies, I'll come and tell you about them.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.